Hello, you're listening to People, Pets, and Vets with Dr. Brad Miller and registered veterinary technician Angel Martin.
Hello, everyone.
Each week, speaking of, we bring you current events and news in the veterinary industry and share our thoughts and perspective on how they impact us in our animal hospital. We also try to give you an insight and behind-the-scenes glance at our clinic and the people in it. This episode 117 is being brought to you once again by Georgia Veterinary Associates, a family of animal hospitals caring for your family pet. So, weather update, Angel?
Yes. So, weather update. I feel like we live in Florida because every day it rains. Today, actually, on my drive-in, it was raining massive, large raindrops.
Big drops, yeah.
And it was super sunny.
Yeah.
I felt like we were definitely, like, in Florida.
Yeah. Maybe we mentioned this last week. It's super green around here. Mm-hmm. Yesterday was, I feel like it was like 110% humidity, if that's possible. It was super hot.
For sure.
You know, low 90s, very, very humid, but beautiful, partly cloudy. So, you know, once again, that's one of the reasons we live here. There is a little bit of the bad, but there's a lot of good.
But you know how we were talking about how, like, usually in the summer, we're like, hot, miserable, we're in the 90s,
and we
approaching
hadn't seen
the hundreds.
Yep.
Yeah, I think it has to do with the rain that we keep seeing. I mean, it's keeping the humidity around, but it's certainly keeping the temperatures a little bit more mild.
Yeah. So kind of excited. We've got a little bit of new equipment. Hopefully there will be no technical difficulties, but we've upgraded our Macintosh system here.
Macintosh, that's funny.
Yeah. Did you even know that's what, like, an iMac?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I actually was alive to see, like, the actual Macintosh desktops. You know,
the
they
white.
Were really cool.
Yeah.
They were white, and then you could get, like, a different case color background.
Super boxy.
Yeah, but it was very cool when I was in school to have one of those.
All right. So, this past week, fortunately not super exciting. I feel like in the practice, we were able to catch our breath this past week. And so we're still busy, but not super, super duper, overly busy. Would you agree?
Yes. I don't necessarily know what to attribute it to. Was it that we were seeing less people in the building? Is it that we had more people on staff? I'm not quite sure. It's probably a possible mix of the two.
I think people are traveling. I do know that nationally, if you look at all the veterinary clinics nationwide, according to the Fountain Report, that, you know, revenue is something that we track just to kind of see how busy practices are. And nationally, down about 12.3% year to date. And last week was 12.1% compared to the previous year. So when you look at those numbers, it's not in what I have in front of us, I don't think, but Georgia is actually, and the Southeast is actually still up and continuing to grow as far as how busy we are. So,
interesting.
You know, we've just kind of used it, I think, to catch up and take a deep breath and maybe hopefully relax a little bit more so than we have been. And then we just all need to be ready to continue.
Maybe everyone was at home watching Discovery Channel and Animal Planet because it was Shark Week last week.
Really?
Yeah, did you know that?
I did not watch that. Did you watch? Did you and Lance watch?
No, I'm not really into Shark Week, but one thing I find super interesting is my sister has this app, and she is, like, amazed by tracking the sharks. So I'm assuming they put, like, these GPS microchip type things in some of the sharks that they
like their dorsal fin, probably.
Yeah, I would imagine. Yeah. So, but that, and then some turtles as well. So this app called OSearch, so Ocean, OCEAN, but instead of Ocean, it's OSearch.
Okay.
They actually will let you know, like, if you're going to visit the coast of, I don't know, South Carolina, if there are active sharks in the area. And so you can actually see, like, real time if there are sharks, and they have names for them. My sister was showing me yesterday. She was like, oh my gosh, look at this 14-foot, I don't know, 2-ton shark. And I was like, that's pretty scary for sure. But it's just amazing how we can track all of this. But at the same rate, like, why sharks suddenly are in such fantasy for so many people.
Yeah. I don't know. Oh yeah. Hate to admit that I was on my phone this morning before rising out of bed, and I was watching TikTok, as often I do, just
Oh,
like
gosh.
my mindless thing to do. And
How old are you?
12, 18, 22. I'm watching this video of the ocean from a condo, like a high-rise condo.
Okay.
And I see two creatures in the water, not, you know, not up on the beach, obviously, but kind of in that surf layer, I guess. And one of them definitely looks like a shark or a dolphin. And the other, I don't know, is it a stingray? Is it another shark? What is it? And so these people are filming this, and you start seeing these two creatures get closer and closer.
And you can see them because they have
and
fins.
Closer.
They're finned creatures.
You can just, I mean...
Or is it
TikTok,
like shadows?
TikTok, you can't expand and zoom in.
Mm.
Or at least I don't know how to.
Okay.
So I'm like looking from afar, and then all of a sudden, they get what appears to be like 2, 3, 4 feet apart, and you hear these people filming start yelling, "Shark! Shark! Shark!" And it gets louder and louder, and then all of a sudden, the shark kind of bounces off. The person was the other critter. The person you can see rise up and start running towards the beach, and the shark swims out to the ocean.
Oh, no way.
Way.
That's so, so crazy.
That's funny that you mentioned this, because, yeah.
Well, so what's crazy even is, like, I just joked around with my sister. I'm like, oh, so if you get a shark attack, they're going to know exactly which shark ate you. But, I mean,
yeah.
This that being said, it's kind of scary still.
So, yeah, that just further tells me that something I already knew, I'm not comfortable in the ocean. There's stuff underneath the water and underneath the surface you can't see. And
yeah.
It just scares the bejeebies out of me.
For sure.
I don't like it. So, so we talked a little bit about, like, the visits and how busy we are. As an industry, we continue to see in our area how, quote unquote, busy and understaffed the restaurants are.
Yes.
Happened to me again yesterday. I'm at a place just wanting to have a nice burger at lunch, and took me over an hour to be served. And I witnessed three other patrons that were quite disgruntled with the service they were receiving.
Mm.
So that is what it is. We need to, you know, kind of... just move forward and realize that the Chick-fil-A attitude will win out in the end versus the fill in the blank.
Sure.
Who would you think is Chick-fil-A's biggest competitor that is not hitting the mark?
So I don't know if you're going to call it like fast food or if you're chicken only joints.
So Chick-fil-A is fast food. People think of it as a healthy fast food, but it's completely fast food. But
yes.
The experience that you receive there, and also they charge a pretty penny for their product.
Yeah.
But
I would say probably the closest to it would be Zaxby's in this area. Right? Like, I think a lot of people kind of put them on the same level, if you will.
Yeah, I think Zaxby's is a Southeast thing, though. I don't think they're nationwide.
Well, that's what I said, in this area. I think...
So let's just go with fast food, not necessarily chicken.
Okay. McDonald's.
Okay.
That's got to be their biggest competitor,
I'm
going to
say,
right?
Taco Bell.
Why is Taco Bell their competitor?
They're a fast food, and they drop the ball every time I've ever been there. With
every
the
single
food
time.
And the service,
sure.
And the way you're spoken to and received, and so... we talk about this all the time, you know, the QT experience versus the Shell experience as far as a gas station. So,
sure.
Anyway, digressed a little bit from my train of thought. The source of our stories this week are the Fountain Report, which is put out, sponsored by VMG, Veterinary Management Groups, is the study group that we are involved in.
Yeah, and they do basically kind of what we do, right? They consolidate information and they basically share it with you. And it's articles and that kind of thing. There's no opinions, right? They just basically give you the article and then give you the source to go read more. Whereas we hopefully read the article, kind of give our thoughts and share it in truly how it's affecting us and what our thoughts are about it and that kind of thing. Good, bad, and different, right or wrong. That's the whole point of it.
So the highlighted articles in this week's Fountain Report were all things that we kind of know are already going on, and they are being reported, and I just wanted to kind of touch on them. And so featured article number one, pandemic boost pet owner veterinary visits, right? So we've talked about that for over a year. new puppies. People are at home. They're paying more attention to their dogs and cats and other critters. They're bringing them into the veterinary clinic because they have nothing else to do. They have more disposable income because of government support, or they're not able to spend it elsewhere. So win-win situation if you're able to service their needs as a veterinary clinic, right? And
right.
So, you know, the highlights, and so David Sprinkle is the author of
this.
He's
a research director, yeah.
Yeah, and so, you know, he basically said COVID-19 made people pay attention more to health, including that of their pets. And I totally agree. So not only the health of the person.
Right.
Right. Sometimes it went the wrong way with eating and drinking and whatever you did at home during COVID because you had nothing else to do. But then a lot of people went completely opposite, or once they went down that slippery slope, they did go opposite with becoming healthier, mm-hmm. working out. I would venture to say that in-home exercise equipment sales probably are and were at an all-time high during the pandemic.
Oh, for sure. So I can personally attest to that because we tried to get some free weights to add to our home equipment, if you will. And there was nothing available, I mean, other than a couple of five-pound mismatch weights. Yeah.
So we know, you know, the park system in Gwinnett County, as busy as it's ever been, the national park system, during my recent trip, kind of talked
more
to some
visitors,
folks,
yeah.
And it's like, gosh, it's just so busy. And so, but yeah, David Sprinkle, I actually met him in San Francisco a year and a half ago. He presented for at least a half a day at our VMG10 meeting. And he was just presenting the research, and it was all about food and marketing and what you should and shouldn't be doing.
Mm-hmm.
So he is a real person.
Yeah. I actually read this article on LinkedIn, not through the Fountain Report. But there's another link to the same article or the same research that David Sprinkle did. And it had really kind of focused on cat people and how they have really increased bringing their pets to the vet. And when we talk about increases, we're talking like, you know, percentage points, but it goes from like 80 to 85, but
yeah.
It doesn't seem like a ton, but it really is huge.
Yeah. I don't know the number of pets in our population these days, but it's big. It's a big number.
Yeah, for sure.
The other thing, I've talked to somebody this past week along these same lines, is pets are completely different in our lives than they were 15 years ago. I was going to say 10, but I'm going to go back a little further, 15 and 25 years ago. So I got out of vet school roughly 25 years ago.
Yeah, but even that, they're already more different than they were 1 year ago.
Well, they are. And so that's the point. We continue to humanize, and they're in the house. They are members of the family. They're wearing clothes. They have accessories.
They have their own Instagram.
They have their own Instagram. We have had a potbelly pig in the historic past that had her own earrings and piercings. And so it's just kind of crazy. And I mean, it's a good crazy, but it is just a different world that we're living in. So second article was low supply and high demand for veterinarians is making hiring more expensive and more difficult. So we internally know, you know, whenever we see a candidate come across our way and is maybe interested in working with us, that we will jump on that opportunity because we know how hard it is to attract and hire and retain quality veterinarians. And so I will insert here the fact that I am super happy and proud that our staff is what it is, and they are working, our staff, really our entire staff, but I was talking about veterinary staff, but they are working harder than they ever have, and hopefully they are getting some satisfaction back from the job that they're doing for their patients and their clients, and, you know, work hard, play hard,
sure.
Be rewarded, and so, you know, Georgia Vet Associates doing some awesome things, and we couldn't do it without all of the staff and particularly the associates in this conversation.
Do you remember like 5 years ago, I feel like there was a lot of disinterest in veterinary medicine, right? Because mm-hmm. There's no use to go into vet school because your student loans are going to be so high, and then you get out and you don't make enough money to pay it back. And there was like all of this like negative speech.
And literally 5 to 10 years ago, a surplus of veterinarians.
Yeah, I would agree. So there was a surplus.
There
in
were
fact,
new vet
there
schools,
were some schools
coming out, mm-hmm. and
Some of them actually even closing because they couldn't get enough.
Yeah, why are you putting more vets out? You know, there's an oversupply. The ones that are out there can't get jobs,
right.
And now it's completely the opposite.
Exactly. So like a year and a half ago, I mean, not quite 2 years, but a year and a half ago, we started talking about how there were at least 5 new vet schools coming mm-hmm. in, you know, in the next couple of years. And then now, even, you know, CNN, the New York Times, all of these like big, I guess, I'm going to say business, I guess, entities, they're talking about how resilient veterinary medicine is and how it's so attractive to so many different people, not just veterinarians anymore. Does that make sense in what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I mean, a lot of people are investing in veterinary medicine, in the technologies, in the businesses,
yeah, for sure.
In the people. So it is, but that can flip in a moment, you know, in an instant.
Of course, yeah,
so
for sure.
So the one thing I have learned I've learned many things the last 10, 15, 20 years, but you cannot predict the unpredictable.
Okay.
A lot of things I never thought would ever happen, from pandemic to desert storm, you know, war, however long ago that was, 15 years ago. You would think we were beyond those types of events, but this pandemic proves otherwise. And then kind of like Warren Buffett's philosophy of, if everybody's selling something, then you should be buying something, you know, kind of go against the grain.
Sure.
And that's with a grain of salt. You don't want to, you know, 100% do that.
Right.
But, that is kind of the entrepreneurial attitude. But also, you know, veterinary medicine, with our clinics, if everybody is saying, oh, we're so busy and we can't see new patients, then we're going to open up the doors and say, bring it on. We're going to take every new case that we can get because we're here to serve you. So, I don't know. It's just a little different train of thought, really, in many, many aspects of what I do. And I think that's probably fairly true of you as well, speaking for you, but could be wrong.
Okay.
Okay. So anyway, article about artificial intelligence training, a new certificate program out of the University of Illinois. I'm not sure if that's all about telemedicine or if it's about incorporating artificial intelligence reading of x-rays, EKGs, things like that. But that's at the, you know, the forefront of the news. Super interesting story. I didn't really... If I'm being honest, I didn't read it other than the headline, but Maine veterinary practice loses patient records after refusing $80,000 ransom payment.
So that is super interesting. So what happened?
So I'm assuming somebody, all right. So hackers hacked into a hospital in Maine.
Okay. So I understand.
York
now.
Animal Hospital got hacked into.
I was totally thinking totally opposite. I thought that someone stole someone's dog.
No.
Okay.
No, anyways. They demanded, you know, ransom. They put
this
ransomware.
This is like malware, yeah, and that kind of thing.
Ransomware
like
on.
What we saw recently with the gasoline industry.
Yep, the gas company here in Georgia. And so, so this particular veterinarian did not
have the money.
Well, I don't know if he had the money or not, but he chose not to pay it, whether it was Bitcoin or otherwise, and basically said, I'm not going to pay you 80 grand. You can keep the records, which hopefully he had a backup somewhere to satisfy the state board requirements of record retention. But that's kind of an interesting thought, right? If this happens...
So this is what our IT company, SecureWin, has been scaring us with years. And I always thought, like, there's no way that anyone would give, two cents about our veterinary...
Well, it's the small business. Hospital systems are a huge target
for
these spyware, malware people.
Yeah.
We've talked about this, have we not, on the podcast before? Like, there are a group of these hackers, and they all kind of somewhat respect each other and don't go after the same people. And if you've been hit once, you usually aren't going to get hit twice, is kind of the story that
I've heard.
Super
weird. No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's this whole new industry. But, yeah, that's Bill and Mark at SecureWin, knock on wood, have us protected. But
but they have been, like I said, been saying this for years that, oh, you guys have to really protect your stuff. So we don't keep any client data as far as like personal information. No credit card numbers are stored, no social security numbers, no, I mean, nothing other than a telephone number, an email address, and a physical address.
Yeah.
But so I don't know what it would benefit these people to get this information unless
they
this
just
practice...
lock your system down. They lock your system down. So we could reinstall Avamark tomorrow, right? Mm-hmm. We could call them, hey, we just got hacked. We need our operating system back up, our PIMS, our practice
management software.
Yeah. Back up. But we would have lost all of our data. And so
from the last backup.
My VMG mate Scott in Portland had this happen to him about 2 years ago.
Oh wow.
And I don't recall what he had to pay or what his fix was, but he was down for like 5 days.
I just think that's crazy. So I did read this a little bit, and it says that the owner of that animal hospital said he didn't have the money. And there's a quote from him in the Portland Press Herald that if he could have paid it, he probably would have.
Yeah. The Portland Press what?
Herald.
Yeah. Most people say Herald.
I don't understand.
H-E-R-A-L-D.
Exactly.
It's not.
Herald.
Okay. Anyway, you make fun of my West Texas accent. Definitely when you say Herald, then I'm gonna point that out. So, so anyway, just some general discussion. I changed it from the word of the week. I kind of put in our notes the condition of the week, the topic of the week, the lesion of the week, the topic of the week. Or problem of the week is epidermal inclusion cyst. And why is that the topic or lesion or problem of the week, Angel?
Because my little dog Zoe is suffering from one of these cysts that actually ruptured this morning.
Okay.
And I thought it was super weird because the cystic material, I don't even know what you want to call it, just kind of fell out like a marble. It was all hard and
gray.
Gross.
Yep.
It literally just like the skin ruptured and the cystic material kind of just fell out and left a hole in her skin. I have seen epidermal inclusion cysts, you know, be punctured and expressed here in the practice. I've seen them be surgically removed. I've seen them kind of ooze sebum, if you will, but I've never ever seen what happened to Zoe happen to any other pet. It was just bizarre to me.
I definitely have seen the after effect because the lesion on the skin looks like a volcano.
Yes.
I don't know. I actually probably have expressed a couple that did the same thing, if I'm being honest. So do you want to explain what it is? And then I'll chime in, or you want me to explain my take on what an epidermal inclusion cyst is?
Well, I mean, you should probably explain better because mine is going to be very lay in the sense that, like, we don't really know why they happen, but it's just a buildup of material under the skin.
So go for it. Is that it?
That's it.
So epidermis. Skin. So where is the lesion? In the skin, not under.
Right.
Right.
So, yes.
So it's
technically
a cyst.
It's at least under the first layer. There has to be. It's. If it wasn't under the skin layer,
okay.
Then...
To your point, it's in the dermis.
Yes.
It's in the dermis.
It would just be oozing
but
out.
But I think it's actually in the epidermis. But
okay,
epidermis, dermis, yeah.
But
so.
Most of them don't actually ooze, right? So there is like a casing over them. Mm-hmm. So they are in the epidermis.
So when we're presented with a dog, typically cats can get this, but more common in dogs, they present as a... swelling or mass effect in the skin.
Mm-hmm.
So the owner will feel a bump. And when we stick a needle in it and we pull the material out of this cystic structure, it comes out almost as a really thick
cottage cheese,
toothpaste, gray, white material.
Gross.
And when we put it on the slide, all we see is just proteinaceous debris. So there's no cancer cells, there's no bacteria. It is the contents of the cyst, which I kind of agree with you. It's more of a sebum type of material. It's almost like if you had a whitehead or a blackhead, it's going to be extremely similar to a blackhead, which fortunately I've never had one of those, but I have had pimples early in my teenage years, and it's a very similar material that's inside your skin. It is a cyst. A cyst is a typically, I'm just thinking circular, but it's a
Sac.
cavitary type of lesion, and the lining of the cavity is glandular, and these glands are producing this fluid. And so technically, it is kind of a tumor, if you will, because it doesn't go away and it's producing
So
abnormal,
mostly benign.
it's abnormal cells producing an abnormal fluid. But yeah, they are completely
Benign.
benign.
Yeah.
But in Zoe's case, she's had this for a while. You've been monitoring. All of a sudden, it ruptured. Now it's inflamed. It's irritated. It's aggravated. And you and I earlier today talked about that. Our plan is going to be to let it calm down for a few days, and then we're going to come back and surgically excise it, because it will come back and it'll happen again, and it's causing her some discomfort. So.
Yeah, I just thought it was the weirdest thing. I will definitely share some pictures. My dog is on tick control, right? But if you've ever seen those engorged ticks that are kind of
That's kind of
greenish
what it looks
looking,
like, yeah.
it's exactly what it looked like. And I was like, how in the heck is this even possible that she had this engorged tick on her? Because typically when those ticks are that large and they're engorged, they've been feasting on blood for some time, right? They don't fall off and then jump
Yeah.
back on.
But in the practice, again, we will diagnose them by fine needle aspiration and cytology. And then sometimes, if they're about to rupture, I'll actually take a needle and kind of use the bevel of the needle to go ahead and rupture over the superficial skin layer. And then we can squeeze or express that nasty, nasty material out. You ever.
But this
Do you,
material has been like
wait,
the
wait, wait, wait.
Zoe's material specifically was hardened.
That was very firm. Typically, it's like, are they called snakes? The fireworks, the little pellets that you
Oh,
light.
that, yeah. I
And
don't
you
know what
light
they
them, and
are.
they kind of expand, and it comes oozing out in this cylindrical gray column. That's exactly what most of the time, if you go to express one of these, they look like.
Yes,
Not exactly, but like it's like 98%.
can vividly imagine it.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, that's all I've got. We've talked about fireworks, the weather,
Shark Week.
cysts, sharks, veterinary industry, David Sprinkle. So yeah, all over the place as usual again this week.
Check in next week, guys, as we discuss more in the news and in our industry. Follow us on Instagram at People, Pets, and Vets. Follow all of our clinics on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Check out our blogs on our website at mygavet.com. And wherever you're listening to this podcast, please hit subscribe. And lastly, remember, without people, pets are simply animals.
Bye, guys.